to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And my rock star right here, Leon Wu, he's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It's really good to be here.
And you look very sharp yourself. I hope you're wearing one of your jackets here.
Yes, absolutely. Wearing a Sharp blazer right now.
Love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us, what is Sharp Suiting?
So, you know, I founded Sharp Suiting in 2013, and back then it was to fill a fashion need, mainly with people who are masculine identified or gender nonconforming like myself. But what it's become nowadays is something that's more of a social brand. We're all about gender equality. We suit custom suits for both men and women, no matter how you identify.
And it's really difficult to break into the fashion industry. There's a lot of competition there, but you found your niche. How did you do that? How did you disrupt this industry?
Yeah, well, I think that being that we were a brand that was inspired by the LGBT community, that really kind of helped us. We did a lot of community events at first. We did a lot of promotions within LGBTQ events. And from there, we followed kind of a niche market and then kind of tried to expand that a little bit more so that we could be a brand that anyone could wear if they really believed in our mission of gender equality.
So you started serving a very particular community and then expanded from there. So that was your strategy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we had a lot of early success with publicity. We did have a lot of people help us out at publications like Huffington Post, Queer Voices, The Advocate, Frontiers Media, all of the LGBT publications. And we kind of, you know, rode this new wave with them. And, you know, we rode this wave through marriage equality, through trans visibility. And today,
it's very timely.
Very, very timely. It's almost like it happened, you know, in a very specific, predestined indicated path. And I just took the next, whatever the next indicated path was. This year, it's, you know, with the walkout of over 3 million women and advocates walking across the nation, this year is all about gender equality.
Totally. So it goes to show that even in a really competitive industry like fashion, there are still underserved communities, needs, and it's just about fulfilling those needs. And there's always space for new people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've always believed that fashion is about identity. And, you know, I'm part of my whole identity growing up, being gender nonconforming and then identifying as transgender and then a trans man. It's kind of been also a progression for me, too. And serving this particular niche at first was exactly that, representing an identity that was not being expressed in the fashion world.
Yeah, and you are bringing such an amazing point of view and perspective, because this is your passion. It's close to you. It's so much more than a brand. It's your stories interwoven in it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think it's an important one because it represents not just the specific niche group, but also, you know, the right for anyone to wear what they feel comfortable wearing. It doesn't matter how you identify. You can be a man or a woman who wants to wear something that might be a product, a fashion product that's more genderized, particularly. And our mission is all about, you should just be able to wear whatever you want to feel confident, empowered, and be yourself.
Yeah, you're really helping change the mindset around fashion, too, because a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes brands think of fashion as a way to impress others, and it's all about image, you know, versus you're coming from the perspective of it being a self-expression of who you are and your own identity. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's been kind of a journey for me and my peers. I work with so many other brands that kind of started on the same path as me, whether it's a shoe brand like Nick Casey Footwear or, you know, streetwear, urban streetwear like Sir New York in New York. And, you know, we're kind of all in this path together where we are all about fashion being you, and how whatever form you express yourself, whatever characteristics. The fashion world is quickly kind of changing or catching on to that a little bit. And I think being a custom suiting company is easier to do that. That way we can work specifically on personalized fit and style with each person. But, you know, I think and I hope with technology that one day fashion is just going to be about personalization, just like a lot of technology is. Nowadays.
And that's what you're really providing. I went to your website and right away it had me plug in my height, you know, my weight, my style preference, yeah. All these different unique questions that you never really get asked at the sites I go to, and with the idea of personalizing. So tell me a little bit about your process.
Yeah. So right now is version 1.0 of our virtual tailor on our website. And you can pretty much, go to our virtual tailor. It's going to ask you a minimum of 3 or 4 questions, but up to 10 other questions that are optional. And basically, you put in your height, your weight. And right now, it's a little bit binary. You have to state whether you're female or male, and that's just really to understand.
And it says how you identify.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. How do you identify a male or female? We're going to be changing that in the 2.0 version to be a little bit more inclusive of gender nonconforming folks. But right now, the technology is a little bit more binary, unfortunately. So. With the technology, however, we can pretty much predict your measurements within 97% accuracy. So if you're somebody that's in the Midwest or the East Coast and you want to buy a sharp suit, we're based here in LA or West Hollywood, then you can go on our website and answer those 3 to 10 questions, and we can ship you a suit within 3 to 4 weeks that's going to fit you better than anything you're going to get off the rack.
Right, because regardless of your body type, there's really a suit for you is the concept, right?
Correct, yeah. And then, part of it is besides, representing how you identify more as male or female, just to understand your body metrics. Then the other question is the style component. Are you more masculine? Are you more feminine? Do you like an androgynous suit? And then that's where we use what we call our anthropometrics to kind of manipulate the measurements in the back end and send you a cut that is according to your style.
Okay, so what's the technology called or the measuring system, anthropometrics?
Anthropometrics. So anthropometrics are what custom tailors study. So we kind of played with the first part of that word and changed anthro to andro.
I love it. And this is something that you've trademarked. So this is part of your secret sauce of your brand.
Yes.
How difficult was that process to get that trademarked?
Trademarking is not so difficult. It's recommended to work with a lawyer because
and
anything.
And you did, and I'm sure you're happy you did.
Yes. Yeah. We've got a great lawyer. There are specific, you want to go to an intellectual property lawyer to do that. We have our other lawyer that's
they
like
specialize
more. Right. Yeah, exactly. Work with a lawyer to get anything trademarked. If you need to get like a provisional patent or a long-term patent, work with them. They know exactly, what to do. I know for anthropometrics, because it was more of a word or a semantic based thing, then the trademark was the right legal protection to get for that one.
And as we were talking about, it's really timely, and it's not just, the LGBT community that's maybe demanding more androgynous options. Even we're seeing more mainstream celebrities show up on red carpets and females who at one point maybe wore really feminine dresses, they're rocking suits. So does this seem to be a trend in general that's going to be disrupting the mainstream a little bit?
Yeah. We started to see in 2016, a lot of women, who identify with femininity, rocking like a pantsuit at an award show. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. This year is all going to be about, for the next award show, for instance, who's going to be rocking the pantsuit, And hopefully it's going to be a hit for most of these girls, and we're cheering them on.
Yeah, and it's cool because, you know, sometimes a pantsuit will be more masculine, but a lot of times it'll be more feminine, and it's just depending on what their personal style is like.
Absolutely. Just because you're wearing a pantsuit doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be more masculine. You know, we've feminized a lot of suits by making them more tapered or higher waisted, more slender sleeves, for instance, more kind of a smooth shoulder. Yeah, so, you know, it's all in the subtle details of the fit that make a suit. And, you know, we want women to feel empowered and be able to rock something that they feel sexy and confident in and be taken seriously with it.
Oh, I love it. Such a good mission. Thank you so much. We are going to be right back with my guest, Leon Wu, founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Head to Court Furniture Clearance Center for up to 70% off new retail prices. You never know what kind of court-certified treasures you'll find. And the best part? It's court bonus rewards time. Earn bonus rewards in our clearance centers from April 4th through April 30th, 2019. Get $25 in bonus rewards on every $250 spent after all discounts and before taxes applied. Court bonus rewards aren't transferable, can't be exchanged for actual cash, and are not valid with any other offers, discounts, or special buys. Redeem your court bonus rewards May 1st through May 10th, 2019. Go to courtclearancefurniture.com today.
Hey, cybercriminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And this is my rock star, Leon Wu. He's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. Such an amazing conversation. Love what you're doing. And a lot of publications have as well. You've gotten a lot of publicity, especially in the beginning. How did you get this publicity?
Thanks. Well, you know, like it kind of started with doing a Kickstarter campaign.
Okay.
And, you know, anyone who's run a successful Kickstarter campaign will tell you that publicity is actually a part of that. You know, you want to make your crowdfunding campaign something that's known to, you know, local publications, to whatever your target market is, that community. For us, you know, we started reaching out to friends that we knew at publications first and kind of building our own PR list.
And just emailed them, said, hey, I'm doing this Kickstarter campaign. Are you interested in featuring it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We had some friends at Huffington Post, as I mentioned before, The Advocate, Out Magazine. Like, we've been in probably, I don't know, at least 50 different publications in the last 3 years. And it just kind of was something that we started off with. A very kind of controlled list that kind of just brought about more and more different referrals.
And then people probably saw you.
Yeah.
And,
And so it was a lot of reaching out first. And then what happens was, you know, other people who work at other publications, they'll read about us somewhere and then they'll contact us. And so now we're seeing a lot of publicity coming in. So as a fashion brand, you always kind of want to start working on your PR list first and, you know, continuing to let people know what you're doing as a business. And then sooner or later, you'll, you know, kind of get the ball rolling and people will start contacting you.
But at first you didn't hire a PR agency, right?
Well, we did actually work with a PR agency about a year ago. And that was also very effective as well.
But you even started your PR before that. So by right. emailing yourself. So that was effective to a certain point. And then yeah. you decided at what point that you wanted a PR agency.
Yeah. So we did work with a PR agency about a year and a half ago. And that was strategic because we wanted to reach people in Canada. So we worked with a PR group called Dress Code. Code spelled with a Q. The founder, Asit, that we worked with there was really effective. He had more of a kind of an East Coast and Canadian representation. So he's kind of able to spread the word about Sharp in those regions.
Yeah. So really tap into your own network. But then if there's a new network that you don't have connections in, then maybe yeah. that's when PR comes in handy.
Yeah.
But it sounds like in the beginning, it was very, very grassroots. And a lot of that is just luck. And if your message resonates with your fans, your audience, your followers. But is there any strategy to grassroots marketing that you guys implemented?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just focus on when you're writing a lot of the content that goes to these publications is begin with write-ups that you provide for them. So it's kind of like telling a story. Just be very authentic and tell your story. So many brands these days, it's all about a specific purpose or an inspiration or a social mission. Like talk about that in your write-up. And just be very authentic
that's
about
what,
your passion.
That's ultimately what people care about the most is the mission.
Absolutely.
It's so much more than the fashion. I mean, the fashion's incredible, but then it's really the mission that's behind it that really resonates with people.
Yes. Yeah. People want to identify with the brand, that's like an actual course that you take in business school is brand identity. So
yeah. And like you said, this is a huge trend to have a mission-driven business. I hope it stays. What's been your experience? Why do you think this is resonating so much with people to have these mission-driven companies?
Yeah, I think it's because, people really want to feel emotion, with something like fashion where it's not necessarily a commodity or you're spending, your disposable income on this product, and you want to feel something. You want to feel confident. You want to feel, empowered. You want to feel great when you put on your Sharp jacket and you go out somewhere or you go into a boardroom,
Totally.
So I think that going forward, it's all going to be about identity and experiential marketing. So the way somebody feels about a brand is going to be equally important.
That's the sweet spot. That's what you want to connect with.
Yes. The brand connection is so important. Not just that it's a good product. Definitely have a good product. Make sure it's quality. And then work on, connecting with your clients and your customers.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about your background and how you transitioned into being an entrepreneur and being the boss of your company.
A lot of people in my family, my extended family, are very entrepreneurial. So growing up, I've always been more of that kid that was like the leader, and I knew I wanted to do something leadership growing up. Which route that took, and specifically fashion, wasn't necessarily indicated to me until much later. I did IT for a little while as my corporate job, and I took the leap of faith to start Sharp and jump out of that industry about 4 years ago. Basically, fashion has always been a part of my personal life and my hobby. Growing up, I'd read GQ. I would sneak into my dad's closet to try on menswear all the time. I would envision myself in menswear. I even styled for men's fashion shows. I was that person that other people who identified similarly to me, that is masculine presenting or androgynous, they would come to me and say, hey, I need to wear something to this wedding, or, I can't find jeans that fit me. Where do I go?
You were developing this expertise and you didn't even really know it because you were the go-to person.
Yeah, because it was more of a hobby and it was something that I enjoyed doing.
So at what point did you decide, I'm going to make this into a business?
Yeah. I started this after I took my friend to one of those Hollywood suit outlets, And it was just a terrible experience. And, you know, I'm not going to go through the story, but basically, you know, you could read about it. It's in tons of publications. But she had an awful experience, and they, you know, she basically didn't fit any of the suits that they had there. And the rep actually said that to us, and I had to tell them, I think it's the other way around. You don't have anything that fits her. So at that point, I just got fed up and I said, I need to start this. I had already developed contacts when I had traveled overseas to Asia. And also when I was in New York for business school, I got my first custom tailored suits. So, you know, I slowly kind of tried to develop contacts that I would formulate into a business at some point. So after that experience with my friend, that was that some
yeah,
point that I decided I'm just going to do it. I started working in on the nights and on weekends. I formed a team that would help me with this. And then at a certain point, I just left my full-time job, jumped straight into it. And that's when we did our Kickstarter campaign.
Wow. So interesting. Such great work. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Loved learning about your business.
Thank you.
Leon Wu, he's the founder and chief product officer of Sharp Suiting. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is David Slay. He's the CEO of Hestia Tobacco. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Hestia Tobacco, you're obviously in the tobacco industry, but what specific? What do you guys do? What do you provide?
So Hestia Tobacco is the first all-natural, totally pure tobacco company in a generation.
Pure tobacco, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, explain that, because a lot of people out there don't know the difference.
Oh, absolutely. So there's a lot of, when you walk into Walgreens to buy a pack of cigarettes, you'll see about 30, 40 brands behind the counter.
And, at least, right?
At least. And what most folks don't know is that all of those brands are owned by one of two companies, R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris, or Altria, as they've renamed themselves. And they use it's a very commodified product using a very low-grade mixed tobacco that... There's a world of difference between their products and ours.
And pure tobacco.
And ours. So we're not yet USDA organic certified. That's a process that takes some time, but we are growing to organic standards and using the very best that we can find.
So this is an industry that I feel like is not something that you just kind of have an idea because you saw something on Shark Tank and you're like, I am going to have an idea and raise some money. You're competing against two giant gorilla companies. And I feel like there's not a lot of people that try to get into the space unless they're very, very, very niched. So why did you choose to get into the space?
I chose to get into tobacco because I met a lot of really interesting farmers that meant a lot to me. I was trading soybeans for ADM down in Valdosta, Georgia, and was buying the cash crop and arbitraging it at the Board of Trade in Chicago, and met all these farmers who were actually, they were tobacco farmers by trade, but they were having to grow soybeans and sell them to pay the bills for their families because they'd lost out on big tobacco contracts and whatnot. And I dared them to grow me some of the best tobacco and see where that ended up. And I didn't really think
you
they
dared
took me
them to grow you.
I didn't think they took me seriously, but they did. And that was the nexus of Hestia Tobacco.
Wow, that's a pretty unique story. My question is, do you use your own product?
I do.
Okay, just making sure, right? Some people don't even use their own product.
Really?
Some people don't.
That's fascinating.
Right? I mean, I'm trying to think of examples. Maybe like, this is a ridiculous example that just came to mind. Maybe like a guy that makes diapers. Okay, that would be an example. That's a ridiculous example, but that was like, for some reason, the first
one. I'll give that guy a pass.
That guy gets the pass. What do you feel like has been the hardest part about getting started?
Easily the hardest part of getting started was getting through the FDA.
Okay.
So I started the company right at the time that the government took control. The FDA took control of tobacco. So they don't regulate alcohol. That's ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Mm-hmm. And that's what used to be the regulatory board. And in 2009, the tobacco industry was handed over to the FDA for regulation. And so they are trying to subject it. It's a process that they're still trying to figure out, but they're pretty much trying to regulate it in the same way that they regulate new drugs coming to market.
So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a very good thing for the two companies that control the market.
Mm.
And it's a very bad thing for anyone trying to break into the space.
Okay.
Because it's, as I was saying, the level of regulatory framework and structure that's necessary to bring a product to market is the same as bringing a new medical drug. And now there are clear differences in a tobacco product and a new drug,
pharmaceutical
industry. Yeah. So they're using the same rubric. And so it's very difficult and challenging, as the government also tries to figure out how to best work that, but it's very onerous.
So that's the toughest part about getting started. What about from in a personal perspective? That's more like the business stuff. What about the personal stuff? Because I feel like a lot of times that's what holds people back too, is it's their mindset, it's their limiting belief, it's they don't have the money, they don't have the resources, the education, the people.
Yeah. So I guess I kind of fell into it. I didn't always know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I always enjoyed creating things. And so, I'd been to law school and didn't want to be a lawyer. I was working for a fund, and it all kind of came together as I was working with these farmers and seeing their vision and really wanting to be a voice for that and get it out there. And it's sure. I mean, I own a tobacco company and I'm proud of it. And I think we do a lot of good things. My mother, I was homeschooled growing up, and she on Saturday mornings would bake a lot of bread and put it in the back of a wagon for me to go wheel around the neighborhood and sell the bread to my neighbors. Cause she always wanted me to have like an entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah. So I guess laying the breadcrumbs. That's a good one.
I love that. Well, I think that it's interesting to always hear people's stories about, what their past environments and conditioning was that led them to be an entrepreneur, which is why I asked. We've got the CEO of Hestia Tobacco, David Slay, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My question for you is, has there been a time yet, as inevitably there is for most entrepreneurs on their journey, where you felt like giving up?
Where
you felt like it's time to go and get a job again, which would be the worst thing ever?
Absolutely. I was working at ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, and the section that I was working on was sort of regulated out of existence. So I originally hoped to sort of build Hestia into something while part-time, like most entrepreneurs. Yeah. And then as it gained footing and traction and reception, then I could perhaps jump and leave to it full-time. But my section of ADM was closed, and so I was forced out. And I ended up actually living with my parents for a couple of years. So that's a very humbling thing when you're first starting out and
doing what you got to do as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And you go from, working in the finance sector to living with your parents in one fell swoop. Yeah. And it sobers you up real quick.
Hey, and Mark Cuban used to eat ketchup sandwiches, and other people just eat top ramen for 7 years. And those are some of the people that became billionaires. So, you go through those humbling experiences, but I think you come out on the other end if you persevere and you come out better and stronger. Has there been a mentor that has impacted your life? Could be parents, could be Tony Robbins, could be somebody, right?
My maternal grandfather was, he started an oil company and was one of the first to figure out how to do slant drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. He always inspired me and taught me a lot about how to run a business and how to be an employee, really, so much as even being a boss. And I think you have to be a really good employee if you want to be a boss. So,
why do you believe that?
Because you have to know the chain of command. You have to know where your role is, and you have to feel. I know that Mark Cuban said a lot about this, but you have to always, in any decision that you make, you have to think of how it's going to affect everyone down the line. Mm.
So how do you build a successful brand? Because you have to, for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
I would say for almost every business, the dream scenario is you build a brand. Nike is not worth their $1 billion valuation because they make shoes from China, but they do it because of the brand. The swoosh Absolutely. Is where the value is. Coca-Cola is their, yes, it's their recipe, but it's the Coca-Cola brand. So you're building a brand.
I am.
What is the hardest part about building a brand? What are some things like advice? Like, oh, we blew it when we were doing this, building our brand. This is what you need to avoid. This is what you should do. A lot of people out there have companies. They don't have brands.
The hardest part is figuring out your core values and sticking to it. And it's not easy to stick to it because there's always an easy buck to be made. I mean, yeah. I get pitched at least once a month, if not more often, on taking Hestia tobacco and distilling it into some kind of e-juice for an e-cigarette or this or that. And I mean, there's nothing really pure about that. There's not an organic experience. And so, and there's a lot of quick money to be made there.
So that devalues the brand.
Right. And so you figure out what you stand for. And obviously, we just stand for pure, authentic tobacco, you know, as pure, as best as we can make it.
Yeah.
And that means you can't cut any corners. So you can't take the easy money. And There are those core values, and you stick to them, and you hammer them home, and you make sure that your customers know them and resonate with them, and they'll find you. There are folks in this country and around the world who just want, you know, look, they choose to use tobacco, and then they choose to enjoy it, and we give them the best possible product.
How do you decide? And this is a finance question. How do you decide the price?
Really, we have much higher input costs because we're much lower volume and we pay more for our tobacco. And we...
So that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a higher price.
Right. But I can't say I really looked to where the market was per se. I mean, there's taxes built in that you can't get around.
Yeah.
But really, we just find what our input costs are and find, you know, a profit margin for us and let the customers take it from there. So I know that sometimes there's sort of that reverse psychology effect of raising the price of something so more people think it's rare or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to be authentic and be make the purest product I can. And in some, because so we're incorporated in Nevada, we pay taxes in Nevada. And so in certain states, we're more expensive than our competition. And in other states, we're less expensive because we're normalized across the country.
Okay. And are you in all 50 states?
Yes, we can ship to all 50 states.
Okay.
So distribution is something we're working on, but we can do drop shipping because we are a cigar. And so we don't adjust the prices by where it's going based on whatever, because we only pay taxes in Nevada corporately. And so that's how we got our pricing. We just, we took our input costs, which were much higher, and factored in the taxes and our profit margin and went from there.
That's fantastic. I was just reading one of the quotes on the back here, which...
Yeah, we rotate our quotes. It's fun.
You read it up. So is there on there on all of them or just on those ones?
Only on these. We're actually kind of cycling away from this because we're having smaller packs, but it's been a fun thing. It's from Steps by Frank O'Hara. Oh God, it's wonderful to get out of bed and drink too much coffee and smoke too many cigarettes and love you so much. Which is a paean he wrote to the city of New York.
Interesting. Why did you choose to put quotes in the back? Just something to be different?
I was, I'm an avid reader and I love literature. And so I found quotes that I liked. I mean, the whole project has basically been my passion project. And so things I like end up in some capacity in the brand.
Well, last question as we wrap up. If you had to start over completely, what industry would you get into? What product would you want to sell?
Oh, you mean to start over?
Completely. You couldn't get back in this industry.
Oh, I can't do tobacco.
You can't do tobacco. If you had to start over from scratch, what would you want to get into? Virtual reality, tech, software?
I'd probably just make a bourbon.
Make a bourbon?
Yeah.
Okay, love it. So if somebody says, I want to learn more about you, I want to go to your website, maybe I want to order a pack of these, where can they do that?
HestiaTobacco.com.
HestiaTobacco.com. David, thanks for coming to the show.
It's been a pleasure.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at BusinessRockstars.com.
Have you ever watched Shark Tank or The Prophet and thought to yourself, I have a great idea, but don't know how to get it started? Or you have a startup or a small business that you want to take to the next level? Business Rockstars is going to help you to launch your idea or take your business to the next level with Startup Bootcamp, a free webinar that features big CEOs, your blueprint on how to launch a business in 90 days, cool entrepreneurial tech tools, how to get funded, and mentors that can help you launch and grow your business. Business Rockstars is giving you this video webinar free. Just go to businessrockstars.com and enter the promo code radio. That's businessrockstars.com with promo code radio. This Business Rockstars video webinar is free for the first 1,000 to sign up. Learn how to launch or grow your business now. Go to businessrockstars.com, promo code radio. That's businessrockstars.com, promo code radio for this free webinar. That's businessrockstars.com, promo code radio.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text NET to 79645. That's NET to 79645. Start your online MBA, information management, or business analytics master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text NET to 79645. That's NET to 79645.
Hi, this is Fred Dreyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn, it's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution.
Mindfulness is a big trend right now, but how can you use it to help yourself become a more successful entrepreneur? Justin Brummel is joining us. He's the CEO of Brummel Growth Partners. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Pleasure to have you on the show with us, brother. Dive straight in for us. You're
excellent.
Somebody who likes to talk about mindfulness. I said I am as well.
Thank you.
Let's tear it up.
It's exciting. It's one of the most popular topics today.
And well, what is it for the people out there that like, you know, okay, mindfulness, you know, it's just a word, but what is it?
Right. It's one of those things that I think is in a process of being defined. It means so much to so many people.
I think it's basically just like an increase in self-awareness.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can study things like spiral dynamics, which is about the evolution of human consciousness and how based on the level of human consciousness that you're operating at, you think, feel, and behave at a certain level based on your evolution of consciousness of where you're operating from. It's really interesting. And you can go up and down the ladder of evolutionary consciousness or self-awareness or mindfulness.
Yeah.
And so that's, for me, as I've started to pick it apart, I agree mindfulness is like its own definition. And so for me, I've studied so much on the topic that, you know, you should study spiral dynamics and the evolution of consciousness. But what's your definition of mindfulness?
Yeah, I like to look at it in the term of the framework, wake up, clean up, grow up, and show up.
Mm. Do you know Mark Gaffney and the guys from Center for Integral Wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, those are my buddies, because it's wake up, grow up, show up was the Center for Integral Wisdom's Success 3.0 Summit in Colorado.
Yeah, and the cleanup bit, I think.
Ken Wilber.
Yeah, yeah. And so the wake up bit, some people, they go to Burning Man or they have some sort of a experience, maybe socially, maybe it's spiritually, maybe they travel to India and find, wow, just being in this temple and being around the humbleness and the givingness of whatever's happened there for centuries.
Yeah.
Does something, it changes you, right?
We so can something feel it when triggers we walk. Them that wakes them up.
Yeah. And that speaks to your awareness point, which is we can either run through the world like a bull in a china shop, or we can be mindful and kind of dance through and not break a bunch of crap, right?
Yeah, I feel like so many people, and that's perfect that you brought that up. To me, mindfulness, and there's so many things we could talk about, but it's waking up to the fact that everything in life is happening for you, not to you, mm-hmm. and that you truly, when you take responsibility, which is one of the many things of being more mindful and self-aware, when you take responsibility for that and you become grateful for all the things that have mm-hmm. happened for you and are happening for you and will happen for you, you start to just think and feel and behave in such a different way, which is getting to the growing up stage. So tell us about that.
Yeah. We framed the question initially in like, how does this help you be a successful entrepreneur?
Yeah.
And the studies in meditation, like when they hook electrodes up and track people over time, like you really hit peak performance states when your mind, body, spirit is in a cohesive state.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about being present in the Eckhart Tolle's teachings. So meditation really helps you access that greater being that you already are and step out of this human experience and this personality you have, which, you know, if you think back, well, when I was 13, I was a skater punk. And when I was 16, I was a preppy kid because I wanted to go out on dates now and, you know, these sort of things. And when I was 18, I was a really good student because I wanted to get into the right college and these sort of things. But those are, it's not who we are. That's just the life experience we're having.
Yeah.
And so that awareness bit is like stepping out of that life experience framework into a greater understanding and awareness of who you are in the universe and the degree that you capture that experience and make it stick is the degree that you're able to show up and succeed in the outside world.
And it's good that you brought up being a kid and sort of those evolutionary stages because, you know, based on the references, the experiences, the environments, the circumstances, the conditioning you had growing up is a reflection of the amount of mindfulness or awareness, which then develops the beliefs and the values you have, which then structures your model of the world, mm-hmm. which then controls how you think, feel, and behave, which ultimately is a reflection of the results you get and leads to your destiny. And so, you know, for mindfulness being a topic of how can you be more successful with mindfulness, we're kind of structuring it right now. It's like, it's everything. Mm-hmm. You're already mindful, but you could be not remotely close to as mindful as you could be. And so I feel like there's so many people out there that they're still thinking like a kid, you can see that in a lot of people. Yeah. And some people are operating their business the way we always have, right? It's like the six deadliest words in business. We've always done it this way.
Right.
And so they're not mindful of maybe the changes happened. Maybe they're not mindful of the new ways that could be testing their marketing. Like, oh, well, we tried Facebook. It doesn't work. And it's like, we spent a couple $100 on a boosted post. Right. And it doesn't work. Like, so I personally love the whole mindfulness bit. I think it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I like that we're peeling back some of the layers on it. Joining us right now is Justin Brommel. He's the CEO of Brommel Growth Partners. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And we're talking about mindfulness. It's a big trend going on right now, as we've touched on. But we're also talking about how mindfulness can help you be more successful as an entrepreneur. What are some tactical like things that somebody could do right now? Like if we were going to give them an exercise to be more mindful, how could they start practicing?
Yeah. Learning meditation is one of the key sources. And when some groups, Hong Kong University, a couple of other groups have done a lot of studies in terms of, what shifts the needle. And they say transcendental meditation and Vipassana are statistically speaking, likely to move you in the right direction to be in a state of mind where your monkey mind chatter doesn't drive you crazy all day and night.
That's part of being mindful is taking control of the chatter in your brain and learning to disassociate and associate.
Yeah.
And learning how to actually be like, oh, I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my feelings. I can disassociate from that. A lot of people, because you say, I'm depressed or I'm a depressed person, right? Or I'm a happy person. That shows that there's a presupposition that you are associating your identity with your emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm a happy person. No, you're just a person who can feel happy, can feel the emotion of happiness.
Right.
But we associate ourselves with that. Like, I'm a confident person. No, right? Again, you're associating yourself with your emotions. And so I think mindfulness is being able to disassociate from the right and wrong things. And that's part of being self-aware, is what are those right and wrong things? Pleasure having you on the show. We could go for days on this stuff, but I'm going to see you at the event this week.
Okay.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.